Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to debate exactly how much all-time greatness was on display last night in the men's national championship game. Now, a year ago, I would have just referred to last night as the national championship game, but now that the men's game has taken a backseat to the women's national championship game, I feel compelled to identify last night's game as the men's national championship game. So in a few minutes, we will discuss that women's game that was the most watched basketball game, men's or women's, pro or college, in the last 5 years. And we will discuss exactly what will be revealed by tonight's Lakers-Warriors game. That's on national TV. That's a clash here in Los Angeles. And we will discuss J.J. McCarthy flying up NFL draft boards. But right now, I say good morning to Keyshawn Johnson and Paul Pierce.
Morning.
Here we go.
What's up?
All right. Let's talk UConn dominance. Last night, UConn suffocated Purdue 75-60 to win a second straight national championship. This time, the Huskies steamrolled through their six March Madness games by a record tournament point differential. Never done before. So, Paul Pierce, exactly how impressive were the Huskies to you last night and in this tournament?
Well, that's very impressive. I mean, the numbers ain't going to lie to you. I mean, obviously, when you average margin of victory is by 23 points a game, you have to start saying, where do they rank in NCAA history? Was it impressive? Absolutely. But it also told me how down the college game is.
Maybe, yep.
You know, I mean, I've never seen this before. I mean, why are they winning by an average of 23 points in the NCAA tournament?
So you think it's more about the lack of competition?
The lack of competition just wasn't there. I mean, didn't have the star power. I can't even tell you who's going to be a top pick as far as did they even play against any top picks in the whole tournament. And so, I mean, while impressive, I will say that because of the college game being as down as it was like second nature for me to watch this game after what went on in the girls' the tournament.
Yep.
So, you know, I kind of just watched it, eating chips, walking around the kitchen, whereas the girls' game, I was glued to the seat.
I'm with you.
I was lollygagging around, but it was definitely impressive, especially when you talk about this team went back-to-back. So we have to start talking about, you know, where this team ranks as far as greatest teams at some point.
All right. We will get into that. Split-screened it?
Split-screened it. Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Split-screened.
Yeah, I had to split-screen. Once the Dodgers went off, then I found something else to watch in the split-screen. Look, it was fun a little bit because it was exciting just to see them jumping around and, you know, talking a little trash and whatnot, a couple dunks here and there. They didn't obviously have an answer for Zach Edey. He was dominant, you know, as a big. But they only, Purdue, for instance, they only shot the three seven times in the entire game. It was 1-for-7. Where you look up in UConn was pulling it, they shot it 22 times. So it was almost like their game plan, Purdue's game plan, was destined to fail against UConn no matter what they tried to do. It just didn't, you know, you tried, at least I did, I tried to get into it as much as I could. But like Paul said, it's the men's game. It's somewhat watered down. There was no star power. I mean, other than the people, other than the pregame, halftime, and postgame show, that's where all the stars were at.
Yeah,
with Charles Barkley and company, that was the stars.
Yep.
And so,
heck, they even had Drew Brees on before the game from Purdue.
Exactly.
So that was star power, and he played football.
And then you got a chance to see the former Purdue coach there and stuff. Yeah. So it was kind of like, all right, I tip my hat off to him. And I know what Paul is saying about the start to have this conversation about the greatest team ever in college basketball. I got certainly a couple of teams that'll probably sweep the floor with them. We're going to get there.
We'll get there.
And so in the end, I'm happy for Hurley. I'm happy for UConn. But in all honesty, Skip, it was not. You could just feel our energy this morning talking about that versus South Carolina and Iowa. It was just a different energy level, mindset.
Or
excitement.
Iowa and LSU.
Or Iowa and
or
LSU.
Or Iowa and UConn.
Or Iowa and UConn.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
What I saw last night was extremely impressive relative to the competition in this year's tournament, because I can make a strong case
that no team in any single NCAA tournament has ever been better than the field, and this team was better than the field, because I can just back it up with that point differential. So I can make a case that relative to the competition, this was the single most dominant college team in history. But to your point, and we're going to get to here in just a few minutes, if you start ranking it all time against all the other teams that won championships, it's going to suffer by comparison. But if you just look at last night, think about this. You did have the best team in the country against clearly the second best team in the country all year long, because Purdue all year long, it was very clear they were the second best team because they had the first best player. They had a back-to-back two-time National Player of the Year in Zach Edey, who played like a player of the year last night. I mean, he threw up 37. What do you have on the boards? 10 or so? I mean, it was high. Yeah, 10 rebounds.
10 boards.
37 and 10.
Be nice for him to make his free throws.
Okay. Well, he's not that, and he doesn't shoot any threes, so he doesn't pose any threat like so many of the new NBA bigs. Even Chet Holmgren comes along, and he's stroking threes, and obviously now Wimby, now that he's got his legs underneath him, he's starting to make threes. So now the new wave in the NBA is 7 foot something who can take you outside and drain threes on you. Well, that's not Zach Edey. So I wasn't all that impressed with him, because what UConn did was they just said, you can have all you want, big dog. Eat all night. Because all right. You can eat will be twos and ones, because you'll make a few free throws, but you'll make mostly twos. And I thought he had to work pretty hard against Klingon for his twos. But,
yeah.
But he showed me some footwork. He showed me a left hand. He showed me a little bit of a jump hook, you know, which was pretty impressive.
I don't think he made a shot outside of 6 foot.
No, but that's who he's been. That's why he was back-to-back player of the year, because he was man among boys. And by the way, he stayed the whole way at Purdue. So how old is he, 22 or what? You know, he's
8 years senior.
Yeah, he's one of those. Okay, so here's what got me about UConn last night. UConn actually brought its B game. UConn didn't play very well last night, and they ho-hummed Purdue, because look what UConn did. They're 6 of 22 from 3. Of 22. If I told you guys that at the end of the show yesterday, Paul wasn't here, but if I told Keyshawn, if I'd said, okay, I know for a fact that UConn's going to go 6 of 22 from 3, you'd say, uh-oh, I smell an upset here, right? To your point, Keyshawn, the other team, the second best team in the country, shot 1 for 7. It's because they couldn't even get a shot off, because they got suffocated by UConn's guards defense. Because UConn can flat out guard you from end to end, and they were all over them to the point they couldn't get a shot. I'm going to show you one. The only three that Purdue made was a Braden Smith three. And once upon a time, he's the Indiana player of the year. You know, he's the high school player of the year. Here's at the end of the half, and he goes up, and it's highly contested, and he goes crazy. After he makes it, he goes running, looking to his – like that was a huge thing that he finally made a three. And, again, it wasn't a wide-open three. It was a highly contested three, and he felt like he had won the national championship because he actually made a three. Okay, that's 1 out of 7. I'm going to remind you, Purdue during the regular season was second in the nation in three-point shooting to Kentucky. I don't know where that got Kentucky. It got them out because they lost to a 14 seed. But they were second in the regular season in three-point shooting at 40.4%. Well, help me out. 1 of 7 ain't exactly 40.4%. So they got up against three guards who two of them are going to play in the NBA, Tristan Newton and Stephon Castle. And then Cam Spencer is the classic college guard, because he was a transfer from Rutgers. But he's just the classic great college player that you want on your team. I don't think he can make it in the NBA. I could be wrong. Maybe he'll find
a
way.
He's a hustle man.
He's a hustle man, but he's 6'4", and he made some smart plays, and he made some hustle plays, and he made a couple of nice shots, like up and under shots. And you say, okay, you know why? Because he's 24 years old and he's a graduate student.
Right.
So he's man among boys.
Another 8-year senior, huh?
Okay, well, there you go. But they're loaded. And then Caravan, I don't know if you've watched UConn, but I have all year. Caravan's going to be an NBA player, and he's 6'8", and he scored 5 points last night. He had a terrible game. He shot 1 of 6 from 3. And Caravan, I checked this out this morning, He had eight games this year of over 20 points. What if he'd gone off last night? None of them really went off last night. Tristan Newton had a nice game, but didn't have an all-time great game. But defensively, they are so NBA loaded. Not that they're going to dominate the NBA, but they got four or five guys who are going to make it in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody else does. And that's the point of this year's tournament. They just don't have it. So in this game, it was a mismatch of defense versus Purdue's offense because it's Zach Edey or bust, and they busted. And in the second half, look what the guards did. The UConn guards outscored Connecticut's guards 46-17. Well, that's the game right there. Mm-hmm. So Edey can eat all he wants. And sorry, it's all UConn all the time. So they
it was
just
only a 6-point lead at halftime, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was. I didn't. And it never got back down to single digits after that. I think it went up to 11, and then the rest was history. I thought Purdue played right into the hands of UConn, especially from a defensive standpoint, because like you said, Skip, they were reluctant to even shoot the three. I mean, you could at least try.
They couldn't
The big fella was so good, though. They just tried to play old school basketball.
They did.
They kept throwing it to him. He shot high percentage. I mean, he was getting a layup damn near every time.
Okay, but their game plan was, as all the UConn players said after the game, what the reason Purdue destroyed teams before was if you collapse three guys in on Edey, then all of them are going to be sitting out there sniping wide open threes. Right. And they said no, because Klingon can at least hold his own. I mean, he didn't get annihilated inside. So it was mostly one-on-one defense. And then the guards just stayed on the guards outside and said, you can't have these shots. Okay. So
what that tells me, it was more about the coaching.
It was brilliant.
Dan Hurley.
It was brilliant.
I mean, that's what college is all. That's what college basketball to me is all about. The coaching. I mean, that's who the stars are. And it was evident. I mean, give it to the big man. Make sure these guys don't get off. And we know, you know, but when we talk about being impressed with it, I was impressed with Dan Hurley.
I was, too.
I was impressed with him more so.
And by the way, Paul, to your point, college basketball is a coach's game.
It's a coach's game.
Your game is a player's game. The NBA is a player's game.
It's a player's game. Yeah. Obviously, you know, the coaches are stars. When you hear about the coaches, Bill Self, Rick Pitino, we know the coaches. More so, I know more college coaches than I know NBA coaches.
That's true.
Seriously. So, you know, it's always going to be about the coaching. And, you know, the funny thing, they asked him about Kentucky.
They did.
We'll talk about that.
Yep.
But, like, you know, coaching is everything. You get the right coach in the right situation, you're going to have a shot at a national championship.
Yeah. By the way, Dan Hurley last night, a year ago, I was only vaguely aware of him because I just thought of him as Bobby Hurley's little brother. I think they're about a year apart.
Right.
And all of a sudden last night, he's like the star of stars. He's hot-dogging and playing to the cameras on the bench area, going crazy because he became a big star, but he became Connecticut's biggest star, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, by the way, when you were in school at Kansas, how good was college basketball then? What do you remember about the competition of it?
Well, the competition at college was a lot better because, I mean, the players stayed around a little longer. You know, Kevin started the trend out of high school my senior year, but this is an impressive win. I'm not taking.
How long did you stay?
I stayed 3 years.
3 years.
I did 3 years at Kansas University. The best thing I ever, best experience college basketball, best place to play college basketball for one. But.
And how far did you get in the tournament?
We went as far. It's so hard to win. So we went to the Elite Eight my first year, Sweet 16 the second year, and we lost second round my junior year. It's that hard to win. So this is definitely impressive. But there are some teams out there I look back at. Yeah, they win by 23. That I'm taking all day over this UConn team. They didn't win two championships, but there's some teams that I'll take over this team.
You mean historically or this year? Not this year.
No. Yeah.
You mean
not this year?
Not this year.
Historically, there's some teams that I'll take over.
Okay, so in your college 3 years, can you remember stars you ran up against?
When I was in school, you had Ray Allen was in college.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson was in college.
At Georgetown.
You had Marcus Camby was in college.
He was.
Antoine Walker was in college.
Yeah, O'Bannings, the UCLA team.
Yeah, the O'Bannings. You had so
Arizona
many different.
Arizona had the team.
You had Hall of Famers that was in college. You know, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter was in college.
Stephon Marbury. Yep. These guys were in college. So, see, that's the competition was stiff back then. I didn't see the star power in this year's college ranks. I mean, I didn't see UConn have to go against a guy who was the best player or projected to be the number one pick. I mean, yeah, Ide was the national player of the year, but he's probably going to be a late first rounder. You know,
he's ranked in the middle, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, in the middle. So, you know, just the competition wasn't there for me. So that's why the interest wasn't there for me, you know, because over the years, I mean, I haven't been into the college game since probably Zion Williamson was there. I watched Bronny this year. I had more interest in watching Bronny this year than a team like UConn who went under the radar, a team like Purdue who went under the radar all year long, and these were the top two teams. I had other interest in other teams because of the star power just wasn't there.
Okay. Yet, at the end of last night's game, it hit me that UConn is really well coached.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love to watch them execute their offense because it's a thing of beauty. The ball moves, they move, they get open shots, and all five of the guys on the floor are capable of hurting you.
Yeah.
And they'll take turns hurting you. So I'm thinking, this is late last night, I'm thinking, did we underestimate this team? Because I haven't really thought about the team all year long. We didn't talk about the team all year long. Is it possible that the Caitlin Clark effect
was so great.
Made us underrate UConn because they were off our radar. We just didn't talk about them. We've talked a whole lot more about Caitlin Clark and Dawn Staley and Angel Reese than we have about Klingon and Edie.
That stuff is right? boring, though, Skip.
Yeah.
That stuff we watched last night, you had to force yourself to watch it. It's like I'm starved to death. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to eat this, but I'm going to eat it because it's there. And I got to eat it. So I have to watch it.
So,
because if I wasn't on the show with you and Paul coming in on it, I promise to God I would watch it.
This will not be barbershop talk.
No, not at all.
I wouldn't even. I mean, I had no interest.
Unless it sparks a barbershop debate of what was the greatest team ever in college basketball.
To me, the greatest team ever.
Well, we're going to get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there. You can save it. But I'm saying that's a barbershop topic that may come off this, but nobody's going to be talking about UConn as the greatest team ever, right?
I don't think so.
So, Keyshawn, late in the game, I tweeted, I miss Dawn Staley and Caitlin Clark. Because I do. I miss them last night. I'd much rather watch that than this.
You think I'm joking. I split-screened it.
Yeah.
I literally, when I was talking to Nick, like, you know, doing it, I'm like, Nick, I'm watching.
Your producer,
my producer. Yeah. I'm like, I'm watching the eighth inning, man. Let me get to the eighth.
Okay.
You know, it's just, it's one of those deals. And I'm trying to think, how could men's college basketball get back to the 80s and the 90s of college basketball when I was watching, or the early 2000s when I was watching, when we talked about the Michigan State teams and we talked about the Kentucky teams or even some of the Miami teams that were good. I mean, like, we don't even have those type of conversations. North Carolina, Duke, we don't have those conversations about these teams anymore.
Well, it lines up with the players, Key, because we're not only are we talking about this is probably going to be the weakest draft in our lifetime.
I agree.
So that goes hand in hand, that there's no players out there that drew us in. And now we look at the draft like, who's going to be the number one? We don't have that great American right now. That's what it's telling me.
We don't have the great
American players anymore.
Do you think that so much off-season basketball is hurt the college game? Meaning, like, kids play so much of off-season basketball that has actually hurt the college basketball game?
Well, it goes exactly.
Instead of helping it?
No, you said it right there. They play basketball. They don't practice it.
Okay.
They play basketball. You need to practice the game. You know,
Because when y'all played, if I remember correctly, you didn't play. They didn't play. They come to UCLA, they get some run in the summertime, a few games.
You got it.
And that's pretty much it.
So me just
and they go back to college.
So, like, listen, so my connect with the newer generation and what I hear and from what I see, you know, these younger players that's coming up now, they play in all these AAU exhibitions. They travel the world. They have all these caps, USA, Nike, Adidas. And when you look at the players from overseas in Europe, they practice. They play one game a week.
Yeah.
They practice 5-6 days a week, sometimes twice a day. So they're developing their skills a little bit more while we're playing, and we're working on YouTube moves and Instagram social media movement, where they're actually playing, getting better, playing competition, and that's why you're seeing their game advance, and they're the better players in our league today.
Well, I mean, I can make a case that the two best players in your league right now are Joker and Luka. I can make that case, right?
Absolutely. Or you can say Giannis or Embiid.
That wouldn't be a case. That would be factual.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially from a scoring standpoint.
Right. And neither one of them are what you would call explosively athletic, and neither one of them are leapers. And I don't think Luka can jump. Can dunk. I don't think he can.
No, he can dunk.
So it just goes to tell you that they're putting more work on their skills.
Yeah. No, it is.
Where we're worried about the weights and athleticism and running, but they're more skilled than us.
They are.
I mean, it's just obvious in the shows.
Right. So once upon a time, I was in New Orleans sitting on press row, courtside, 1982 national championship game, and I'm looking out on a floor that features Michael Jordan and James Worthy and Sam Perkins on one side, and Patrick Ewing and Sleepy Floyd on the other side, and it is the most star power I've ever seen on a college court at one time. Jordan was just a freshman, obviously, but he hit the shot that won the game. Who?
Kenny Smith.
He was on that team. Kenny Smith.
Was he? I don't remember.
Yeah, definitely was on that team.
I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is, and it went down to the wire, and that was it, Freddie Brown lost his mind and threw it to James Worthy as if it was his teammate, but it was 63-62, and it was the greatest national championship game I had ever seen, but it featured stars, and trust me, the world tuned in to watch that game, and the barbershop was buzzing about that game the next day. Not this one.
Not at all. This one's going to get swept under the rug, and we're going to move on. And
next, right?
See what's going on.
Right. Barbershop when we talking about this.
Yeah, well, barbershop might be talking about this game by tomorrow, because we got Lakers-Warriors tonight here in L.A., and somehow this game to me feels like a big late-season deal. Tonight on TNT, 10 Eastern, you can watch the Golden State Warriors, winners of 7 of their last 8 games, here in L.A. against the Lakers, who have won 9 of 11. Lakers are 2.5-point favorites. The Warriors sit in 10th place in the West, in the final play-in spot, but just a game and a half back of the Lakers in 9th. So, Paul, how important is this late-season game for both these teams?
This game is way more important for the Lakers.
I knew you was going to say that.
Man, it is, because the Golden State, they're in the 10th slot with 4 games to go. And maybe they can move up to like the 8th or 7th, but I doubt it. If the Lakers, because they're going to stay, the Lakers need to avoid Golden State at all costs. And I tell you why. Yeah, the Warriors are have a winning record versus Lakers this year. But listen, I would rather LeBron get in a situation for his playing life. He's playing against either the Sacramento Kings or New Orleans Pelicans or even the Phoenix Suns. When you have an opportunity to put Steph Curry in a one-game situation to where he could be the best player on the planet on any given night, and you can't say that about a lot of people, you don't want to be in that predicament. Now, I know that LeBron hasn't lost a play-in game, but that's all in the past. You do not want a one game for your life against Steph Curry's situation. So Lakers need to try to win, move up to 8, try to push for 7 based on, Phoenix is playing the Clippers the next 2 games, so maybe the Clippers can win a couple of those games and help the Lakers out with the way the schedule is looking. You need to avoid Golden State at all costs. Mm. In a play-in situation.
And LeBron's never lost a play-in.
Yeah, that's
And LeBron doesn't necessarily lose closeout games. I mean, he hadn't really.
What do you mean closeout?
I say closeout, I mean like one game for something. He doesn't necessarily lose that, whether it's game 6, whether it's a game 7. It just doesn't, for whatever reason, you say you don't want to play against Steph Curry. Well, we got 2 of those dudes that on any given night, they could be the best in the whole game.
All right.
In LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can be, if he doesn't get hit in the eye, he might have 50 one night. He just got to watch out the eye. You know, the eye is, that's his Achilles heel. Whatever you do, don't get hit
his
in the eye.
Eye is his eye. Heel. I like
yeah,
that.
Just, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, look, the Lakers, this is, you're right, Paul, though, it is important for the Lakers to get this because what they did against Minnesota without LeBron James and then losing AD didn't sit well with me because all of a sudden you lose one of your top guys in Anthony Davis and you just fall apart. You're up by 5, I think, at the point that
they
you
were.
Lost Anthony 35 Davis.
35 to 30.
You're up by 5,
late
and all
first
of a sudden
quarter. Yep.
You decide you don't know how to play, you don't know how to shoot, you don't know how to dribble, you don't
fell
know how to
apart.
Defend. You're turning the ball over.
You did.
Just kind of fell apart.
You did.
This is why. Now you look at where they're at in terms of the Thunder. The Kings play the Thunder tonight. The Kings is right there. They got the tiebreaker because they beat us. They didn't beat us, whatever, 4 in a row or whatever that number is this year. They basically brought out the rug against us.
They've beaten you.
8 out of something.
8 out of 9.
8 out of 9
yeah.
times. And so that, to me, is problematic. They hold a tiebreaker over us, but we right there. We right there. And if we could take care of Golden State, a team that's won 7 of the last 8, although we've won 9 of the last 11. Now, LeBron is probably going to play. I'm hoping and I'm praying most likely Anthony Davis is going to play. And if they come out on the floor, Golden State doesn't have anything to defend the paint. They don't have somebody. They don't have a rim protector, so to speak. We got a couple that we can utilize in this game if Anthony Davis
your
is ready
Your bright
to go.
Spot against Minnesota was Jackson Hayes. He made 8 out of 9 shots and had, what, 10 rebounds?
Yes, that's why I say we got a
yeah,
couple guys
in
Anthony Davis and Jackson Hayes. So I think for us, we got Golden State, we got Memphis on the road, and then we got New Orleans on the road. I don't know what that's going to be at the last game of the year at the end of the day. I'm not worried about Golden State. To be honest with you.
I'm not worried about them.
No, I'm not worried about
what
them.
You mean?
I'm not worried about them.
You should be.
Why? How? For
you
what?
You got Steph Curry over there.
And we got LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
You got the Golden State Warriors who just 2 years ago won a championship.
And we won one right before them.
Like 5 years ago.
But come on, no, Paul.
But this team recently with this same core won a championship.
Yeah,
with
okay.
this same core.
Okay.
You got to be worried
we
about
just,
them.
We just ran them out of Staples Center last year. Okay, in game, I think it took us 5 or 6. I don't remember. 6 games. And it wasn't even, none
That's
of the games
true.
Felt like the Golden State was going
to You got one
win.
Game for your life. One game for your life. You don't want it to be against Steph Curry. Would you rather it be against Fox or Zion?
You keep saying
you know
we don't
saying?
Want it to
I'm
be against
I'm just saying
Steph
you
Curry.
Want to avoid Steph.
But what makes you think that Steph and them don't want it to be against LeBron and AD?
They know they stuck in a 10th spot. They future depends on what the Lakers and Sac and New Orleans does.
That is
They
true.
Have no control over that. They're in the 10th slot.
Man,
so
I doubt it. Very serious that they're sitting around saying, we don't want to play against Golden State.
They don't care who they play. They going to be happy to be in, playing well, and they a championship team when you got Steph Curry that feel like we can beat anybody on
yeah.
any given night.
And the so, same dude that wears number 23 for us feel that same way.
He feel
he
that
said
way.
It.
Okay,
but,
Keyshawn, last year, Golden State was a troubled basketball team, and it all swirled around Draymond and that
right.
punch that started it all off and basically ended it.
Mm-hmm.
They were done before they started, and they were half-hearted and sluggish and looked old and slow to me against you guys in those 6 games because you won them very convincingly.
Yeah, we did.
The last 8 games, Golden State has reached down for whatever is left of their championship DNA and they look different to me the last 8 games. They lost 1 game at home where they've been terrible all year, but they lost to Dallas. Dallas is by far the hottest team in the league right now.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Mavericks in just a few minutes. But it was no shame to lose by 4 to Luka and Kyrie at home. But that's the only game they lost in their last 8 games. I'm seeing something different because I'm seeing Steph and Klay and Draymond say, let's salvage whatever we have left of our pride and our championship pedigree, it's time to reach for it and go. And they're starting to click like Golden State. They're starting to look like the Golden State Warriors to me. And they have a chance to come into your building tonight on national TV, 10 o'clock Eastern, TNT, and embarrass you again and go up 3-1 on you in the regular season.
Not gonna happen on the night,
okay,
game.
But if they do, then they will all but assure that you're going to play them In another one, right back, it would be at whatever we want to call it, the Crypt or Staples, whatever it is. But it would be right back here, and it would be one game for your playoff life. And the irony of this conversation to me is we just talked about last night's men's national championship game, and you're bored to tears over it where you're split-screening. And listen, if it does come down to Steph versus LeBron here in L.A., one or done, one or go home,
yeah,
it'll be the greatest play-in 9-10 game you can ever imagine, and it will have magnitude because these are two old war horses of the highest caliber.
You make it my point for me. My man Paul keeps talking about, oh, well, they don't want to see Clay. I mean, they don't want to see Steph. Well, I think that Golden State would feel the same way about an old Wizard and LeBron. They don't want to see LeBron and AD at home in a one-game scenario
Either way, it's going to end one of these teams' era.
Yeah. And either you way. Said that. You said it last week.
I said
week,
it last man. Week. Either way. So I don't really want to see that matchup because I hate to see, you know, our aging stars right up into the sunset, not making the playoffs. You know, I want to see both of them make a one valiant playoff run at least, a crack at it at least. And so,
see, it's hard for me to think that it's over.
It's
if
over.
They don't make the playoffs.
It's over. It's hard to like the Lakers.
It's hard to believe the Lakers would be over, but Golden State could be over.
It would
the Lakers not to make the playoffs. It's over. Not to make the playoffs, and you got AD and Bron. Not to make the playoffs, and you got Steph and Clay. It's the end of an era. You're going to start hearing things like, whoa, should we trade such and such player? What do we do? What does our future look like? Do we have a future? Should we re-sign such and such? Does it make sense? We didn't make the playoffs with this core. Why would we do that? I mean, financially, if you're a president, if you're an owner, these are decisions you have to come to.
Yep.
You don't make the playoffs and you don't significantly get better, you might have to trade a LeBron or an AD. You got to start looking for the future.
Well, I know one thing that would happen. Your man, Darvin Ham, would be gone. If they lose.
Why ain't my man?
Okay, because I'm kidding. I'm being ironic to you because he's not been your man. But the point is, if they lose to Golden State tonight and turn around about, would it be next week, you know, whenever that playing game, it'd be early next week, it'd be in about a week. If they turn around and lose back-to-back home games to Golden State, Darvin Ham is out.
Yeah.
And maybe some major decisions would have to be made.
Right. That's just how I go. I mean, what do you say about a team that doesn't make the playoffs with LeBron and AD? Oh, we can come back with this same core that didn't work?
Well, you're going to come back with AD and LeBron, for sure, 1,000%.
Yeah, that's 1,000%.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you?
Because you can put other players around them.
How much better can you get? How much better
can
this team?
A whole lot better with AD.
All right, so now I look at Austin Reeves is having a great year. You know, when I look at D'Lo, he's averaging more points than James Harden, more assists than Fox. He's shooting a higher three-point percentage than Kevin Durant, and he has more three-pointers made than Dame Lillard. Like, what more do you need out there? Like, they got...
Yeah, but that's
like,
on offense.
Listen to what I just said.
Nothing on defense.
Agree.
And he can go ice cold on you in a heartbeat.
True. All right, so tonight, you got two X factors for the home team because LeBron did have the late season flu or flu-like symptoms. I don't know what it was.
One game, man.
Okay.
Stop,
but let's say he actually was sick or is sick. You think he's going to be okay tonight? Did he just flip a switch and get over it?
Yeah, they got stuff to take care of.
They got stuff?
Yeah, they got stuff to take care of that one day, 24 hours.
All right. AD got smashed in the eye again. He had a corneal abrasion. So now the big issue is, would he go, as James Worthy suggested on the local postgame
goggles,
show the other night, would he go goggles like James did?
One of those face masks on.
Nah, never. No.
You never
saw me with no goggles, no face mask.
No, I swear I thought you had a face mask on once before.
Did anybody on your team? I can't remember anybody.
Nah.
So you didn't put a face mask on after the wheelchair?
Man, come on.
After the wheelchair?
James Worthy offered him his goggles. Is that what he did?
Well, he offered him to say, hey, maybe you need to put those on because he continues to keep getting hit on that side of his face.
Yeah, and James Worthy's point is...
I thought you had one.
No. Man, come on.
No, I'm serious. I did. No, I thought
but
you had
James
one.
Worthy said once he started and got used to him, it took four or five games, but once he got used to him, he preferred wearing the goggles to not having the goggles on. It felt
Kareem
better.
Kareem wore them, but I'm trying to think, when did Kareem start wearing those goggles?
I don't know.
Was it after James? Before James. The Cap wore them. He wore them for a long time.
For a long time. It'd be before James.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he wore them before. It must have been before James.
All right. So, do you see him wearing goggles tonight? Is it possible?
I think AD plays. I don't know if he wears goggles, but the magnitude of this game means a lot for the Lakers. I mean, you have to play. And for the most part, you know what? I will give it up. AD has been there more times than not this year.
He's played 70 some odd games,
and he should make an All-NBA team, possibly second team All-NBA. You know, I went down the list, and I named my players, and AD should be in there. I will give him that. He's been available. You know, and that's the best ability is availability.
LeBron make all NBA too?
Yeah, LeBron will make all NBA team. It's so bad this year that you're gonna have two players from a ninth seed team make all NBA. I mean, I went down the list. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but you know.
So Keyshawn, you got the Lakers tonight?
Yeah, of course. Why would I pick anybody else?
Well, I don't know. If you had a vision of how good this Golden State team is, if you looked hard at it,
they are a good team, but the Lakers are playing good basketball too. But they didn't look good against Minnesota, especially after the two guys, LeBron was gone at the start. He came into the arena, and whatever happened between coming in the arena and getting to the locker room, he went home. And then in the end, AD gets hurt in the first quarter, and he's done for the rest of the game. The Lakers did not look good at that present moment. But now I'm assuming both of these guys are going to play. I'm assuming that. I don't know that as we stand this morning. But I would think national televised game, Golden State Warriors. I would think that LeBron James and Anthony Davis both will play.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, really, if the Warriors wanted to, they could rest their guys. They settled into the 10th slot.
Yeah.
You know, they only got a few games left.
I think they want psychologically to prove a point.
Well, they've beaten the Lakers twice. I think they believe they can beat the Lakers twice this year. Mm. I think they believe they can beat the Lakers. I mean, because for one, you're not playing for anything Golden State. I mean, if you're saying we're going to want to move up to the 9th slot, it's still the Lakers right there, I feel.
Yeah, we won game in back of the Kings.
Yeah, it means more for the Lakers than it does Golden State. So they can rest and be like, we'll just save it for next week. We'll come back to the Staples and save it for next
week. Whatever floats their boat. Do whatever they feel they need to do. If they like it, I love it.
We can go out. They went out to a good meal last night, hung out. But we'll save it for next week. Mm.
I got Golden State tonight. I just think they've taken off. I think they're going to be a problem. I'm not saying they can beat the Lakers in the one-or-done game, in the play-in game. But tonight, I think it's Golden State's time and their turn. And that Trayce Jackson-Davis has been playing big minutes for them and playing strong.
I like that young kid.
Yeah, he plays hard. He's 6'9", so he's not 7'2", but he's playing big in the post for them.
Well, let's see if Draymond responds to Klay Thompson and not get kicked out the game because he means so much to the Golden State
Warriors.
Well,
that's what Klay said on his podcast,
let's see if that takes place.
Okay. And did you like what Klay said?
Yeah, I mean, but it's everything we already know. Everybody already knows that. It's just coming from a player now, opposed to outsiders. It's coming from inside, one-on-one, me telling you, hey, you hurt this team. You know, when you're not there for us, because we depend on you to be our guy, because we just two guys that want to play basketball, and you handle everything else for us.
Yeah. Who you got tonight?
You know who he going to take. Come on, man.
No, I got the Lakers winning tonight.
You only said
the urgency, they have more to win. They have more to lose by winning. Mm. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they want to move up, go to state. They settled into the 10th slot, so there'll be more urgency from the Lakers.
In a mock draft published Monday for Boston Sports Journal, Patriots reporter Mike Giardi predicted the team will take J.J. McCarthy with the number 3 overall pick. Giardi said he knows, quote unquote, for a fact that New England likes McCarthy. So, Keyshawn, here we go again with yet another indication J.J. McCarthy is rocketing up draft boards. Does this change your mind at all about J.J. not even being a first-round pick in your mind?
It doesn't change my mind just because somebody writes that they're going to take him as a quarterback at the number 3 spot or wherever they take him. It doesn't change my mind. I'm not taking J.J. McCarthy with the 3rd pick of the draft. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't see anything in college football that made me go, oh, my God, that's the number three pick in the draft. Because if you're three, that means you could be one. And if you're three, that means you could be two. And if you're one, you could be three. And if you're two, you could be three. So you're telling me right now that our eyes have told us that he's equal to Caleb and Jalen Daniels in our eyes? Because one and three ain't far apart, Skip. It's just not. Okay? Because if those two guys, Jalen Daniels and Caleb Williams, were not on the board, are you telling me that he's the number one quarterback if those guys weren't there?
That's
what did you see this year other than winning the national championship to make me go, oh, my God, I got to have this guy.
Well, you just swept that under your little carpet over there about other than winning a national championship. He did do that. And that's what people like about him.
You're on a team.
Yeah.
Okay. You're on a team that's loaded all the way around with a phenomenal coach. I'm just talking about the quarterback position. I'm talking about arm strength. I'm talking about the ability to, because you can't throw the football in the National Football League on a consistent basis 8 times a game. Okay, he threw the ball 8 times against Penn State. They won that one.
In the second half, he threw it no time.
Okay, Ohio State, he threw it 20 times.
Yep.
And in the national championship against Washington, he threw it 18 times.
Didn't need to throw it. Yeah. Okay,
but
I got it.
Still need my quarterback to be able to make all the throws in a game, not in T-shirts, in shorts, at a combine or at a pro day. I need him to be able to do all of those things on a consistent basis. Those reps are meaningful when you transfer it to the National Football League. They just are. I get it. Yeah, maybe the amazing blue that Tom Brady wore makes you revisit. Well, maybe we could hit again on that one. But to take a quarterback 3 years later, this time, if you took Mac Jones 3 years ago, now you're going to reach for another guy, because I felt like Mac Jones was a reach, even though they took him in the middle of the first round, that was a reach then.
Yep.
And however you want to say it, whether Bill screwed it up or he just wasn't good, it didn't work out.
No.
And now you're telling me that I'm getting ready to jump to the third spot to go up and get J.J. McCarthy? I just doesn't work for me. But what the hell do I know? I'm just a guy.
Well, you told me you're good at picking quarterbacks.
I'm just a guy that played the game and caught a lot of balls from a lot of different quarterbacks.
All right. I did not like Mac Jones coming out of Alabama, and I said so here on television ahead of the draft, and I could not believe that Belichick would go up to get him because it was a desperate reach.
Yes.
Oh, maybe I got my next Brady. Nope, you don't. And he had his moments, especially his first year, and then once he fell apart, he stayed falling apart because once you lose your confidence at that position, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. And I do think Mac Jones would have a chance to rebuild himself in Jacksonville as he goes back to his hometown.
See, I don't think he's good, though, but that's just me.
Well, you know what? You're probably right. That's probably the bottom line.
I know everybody want to say that Belichick messed him up by putting Matt Patricia in them. Yeah, that had a little bit to do with it. But even his rookie year, if you really go and you break down the film, wasn't pushing the ball down the field. Everything was at the line of scrimmage or a few yards beyond.
He's a soft armor. He doesn't have much arm at all.
And so I'm not going to create this narrative as if all of a sudden Mac Jones should have been the first pick of that draft. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. I am here to tell you J.J. McCarthy is better than Mac Jones.
He might be.
Maybe that's not saying a whole lot.
He might be.
But I've told you from the start about J.J., I like him, but I can't go to love him because of what you said. They just didn't throw it enough for me to know because I didn't get to see it on a consistent basis. But here's the point. Does he have enough size to play in the league? You better believe he does.
Yeah, 6'2", 220 pounds. That's plenty of size.
Is he athletic enough to hurt you with his legs occasionally?
Yeah.
He is.
Does somebody get a hold of him? Yes.
Well, he definitely is. Does he have high football IQ? He does. Does he have a kind of a quirky charisma to him? He does. Did he make a bunch of big throws when they had to be made for Michigan in big games against Penn State and Ohio State and then into the playoffs against Alabama and Washington? He did. He made a lot of big throws when he had to make the throw. Did he consistently riddle teams, did he pick them to pieces with his arm? He did not, because they didn't do that. They ran the football way more than they threw the football. And that little running back of theirs who's going to be in this draft, he's got some Emmitt Smith in him, ducking and darting behind those linemen. To your point, they annihilated Michael Penix in the championship. They were all over him all night long, and he got battered. I felt for him because he was overmatched against their defense. So what it did was it allowed Jim Harbaugh to call more runs than passes because they did not fall behind and they did not have to throw their way back into games because that's not how they played football. So there's
But even though I'll just yeah. stop you yeah. in your tracks. Even though they ran the hell out of the football.
They did.
When have you, you've been doing this a long time, Skip. When have you ever seen I'll just say top three, since that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
A top three college quarterback projected to go into the draft in the top three. Again, that means you could be one or two. You could be, at that point, you could be anywhere. Not throw the football in college.
No, you're asking a very good question.
Andrew Luck threw the ball.
Yep, he did.
And he was on the same, he was coached by the same guy, running the same plays, using three tight ends.
Yep.
With like, I don't know, who was his running back? Like Toby Gerhardt or something like that. He was running the football
yep.
at Stanford. Mm-hmm. But he also was throwing it. They didn't take it out of his hands.
A lot.
A lot.
And sometimes he's throwing it to the other team, but that's a whole nother
issue. Again.
Yep.
If you three, you can be one. And he ain't Andrew Luck. So that's my only thing is when I'm looking at this, and I understand this is the hype season of running draft boards up and down
it's
and trying to see.
It's also the smoke screen season.
It's the smoke screen season. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I get it. That's why I'm like, nah, you're not going to get me with this.
So are other teams trying to talk a New England into to overdrafting him at three?
Maybe. Either overdrafting him or trading out of it, the number three spot, making him feel a certain way. I don't know. I would be dumbfounded and shocked to think that they would get him at three when they could possibly get him somewhere else or take one of those other quarterbacks, those Bo Nixes, the Michael Penix, somewhere mm-hmm. in a later round.
Good.
And still be able to fill that void at the quarterback position.
Okay. I still say J.J. is better than Bo Nix and J.J. is better than Penix. I believe that.
Okay.
And it's close with Penix because I'm pretty much a fan of his. I just didn't like the way he played in the championship game, but maybe it was just not fair. It wasn't a fair fight. Okay. Because he just unraveled under fire. Okay. So the point is I like J.J. better than I like Drake May. So I have him as the third quarterback. Would I take him third overall? I probably wouldn't because I wouldn't have enough body of work.
That's what we're talking about.
That's all I know.
We're not talking about whether or not he's the third best quarterback.
Yeah.
We're talking about the third overall pick of the draft.
Well, they need a quarterback, obviously. You know? Okay.
Yeah, just because, and I tell this to people all the time, just because I need something doesn't mean that I have to reach to go get it. Doesn't mean because I need a wide receiver, I got to draft that guy. I need a defensive tackle, I've got to draft that guy. If you do your due diligence and your homework, the way you're supposed to, then you should be able to find that value in that good. Player that fills that void. Because if you miss on him, this is going to set you back 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what happens when you take quarterbacks high.
Yeah.
If you miss on quarterbacks, you never rebound.
I saw a quote from Gerard Mayo yesterday to Mike Reese, their beat reporter.
I love Mike.
So do I. And Gerard Mayo said, I'm not asking for patience, but then again, maybe I am. Because it's like, yeah, because they got a long way to go.
It's not too often that you have a Peyton Manning for, whatever, 15 years, and then Andrew Luck falls, right? As soon as Manning gets hurt, Andrew Luck falls in your lap. Because if Manning doesn't hurt his neck, there is no Andrew Luck. It is not very often that you drafted Deshaun Watson. Things happen what they happen with him, and 2 years later, you find C.J. Stroud. Doesn't happen like that.
No.
It usually, you lose a Peyton Manning, and you go for the next 10 years looking for Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. You don't find Andrew Luck, or you lose a Deshaun Watson, and you spend the next 7 and 8 years trying to find him because they're just not out there like
yep.
that. And you wind up reaching
yep.
and grabbing somebody thinking that that's that guy, and it's not that guy. The Cleveland Browns did it for 100 years, and they still try to figure it out.
You lose Troy Aikman, and you spend the next 30 years looking for the next Troy Aikman, right? And we're still trying. We're still searching, and we're looking, and we don't have him. We don't have him.
The facts are, you are correct. You've been searching for Troy Aikman since Troy Aikman left the building.
Correct.
I don't care if it was Hutchinson, Quincy Carter.
How could you bring him up? But go ahead.
I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just thinking about the quarterbacks that came after Troy. You've been looking for him ever since.
Who did you play with when you were there?
I played with, well, Testaverde was older, Drew Bledsoe, Drew Henson. Those were the three that took snaps. Tony Romo was on our practice squad. But those three guys were the ones who actually took snaps. And Quincy Carter was there, but he wound up getting released in training camp.
Okay. Did you see Tony in practice?
Yeah.
Did you
I liked him as a person.
You liked him as a person?
Yeah, but as a quarterback, he just was a kid. So you couldn't. Yeah. There's no way you could tell what Tony was going to turn out
to
be.
Would he do scout team?
Yeah, he would be scout team. But he would. Yeah. Scout team is easy. It's a circle. Throw the ball over there. Oh, it's not that difficult. It's like, hey, throw it to him. He should be open.
Well, as you said, the Jets are still looking for the next Keyshawn, right?
I ain't lying. Really? I understand Garrett Wilson is having a nice career so far, but they're still looking for that number 19.
Okay, so I want you on record about J.J. McCarthy. You would not take him in the first round of the draft?
I personally, high of a spot.
If he was sitting there at 25, you wouldn't say,
If I'm sitting there at 25 and we're having a conversation and he's got to go to a Minnesota, for instance, because we got Sam Darnold as a bridge guy, I may say, okay. I may say, you know what? Let's use our 25th pick on him. Let's use our 26th pick on him. Okay. I would do that.
All right.
I would do that. That's fine. That's a developmental situation that low in the draft.
Yep.
That low in the draft, that's a developmental situation.
Okay.
Is two-time MVP and Lamar Jackson was the last pick of the first
he
round.
He was. Aaron Rodgers was the 24th overall pick.
He was somewhere.
I think he was 24.
Yeah. And so they drafted Aaron Rodgers to develop him behind Brett Favre. You're asking me.
It took 3 years. Go ahead.
You're asking me to draft J.J. McCarthy with the third pick. The third pick is not developmental.
And if you do take him with the third pick, you almost have to start him next year.
I don't even know who's on their roster. I think Zappe might still be there or whatever. But I don't know who's on their roster at the quarterback spot. You're going to have to play him sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
The number three pick of the draft ain't sitting around for 3 years.
Nope. Your fans won't accept it.
It's not going to happen.
Because you're bad anyway.
So if I'm drafting in the 20s at that low, of course.
All right. Well, at least you went that far. You give him that much respect as a developmental 25th pick.
It's not a respect or a disrespect. It's just, he hasn't done enough for me to jump on a table and say, I like him at the third spot.
Yeah.
It's just, he hadn't done enough.
By the way, Tim Tebow went 25th overall. Remember that?
Yeah, Josh McDaniels got fired.
Well, that wasn't why he got fired.
But I'm just telling you, he got fired.
Well, midway through Tebow's rookie year, he got fired.
And if you're sitting here trying to convince me that Tim Tebow, now, I don't want to go there because we'll have a whole, we'll burn all through our segments if you're trying to convince me that Tim Tebow was the guy. Don't do it.
Well, all he did was win a
playoff. Oh, God, stop, man.
Took a 1-4 team to a division title? How'd he do that? I don't know.
A 2-yard throw and the rest was to the house.
Really?
Stop.
Huh. I think he threw it about 30 yards in overtime against Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'll remember it like it was yesterday. Greatest pass in NFL history.